Was in Avenger was I go fast to back over my career in my main gain go basis on this is about you how many minute my was back in my main is Mr. Lewis come be let me be good up hash back over my career in my main. Okay, we are on Daf Nun Hey Amid Aleph. So we had just said an interesting concept. We're going to actually come back to it soon. In terms of the responsibility of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, we had said that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's cow had a covering on its udder against the strict halacha of the Chachamim. As then we had said, that it depends why you're covering the udder, etc. But the Gemara said, wait a second, he had tons of cows. And the Gemara said, no, it's his responsibility because his neighbor's cow had this thing and he knew it and he never said anything about it. And therefore, it is upon him to take responsibility for that sin as well. There are interesting conversations about this, but one of them, the continuation of which is in this Gemara. This is also something that we've been talking about, or we've started talking about in the Wednesday night class, which I mentioned yesterday, which you can listen to, which is the parameters of tochacha, the parameters of giving rebuke to other people. So here the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda hava yasav kamei d'shmuel. Asai hahi itzaka tzavcha kamei. There was a woman that came in and she was crying and he paid no attention to her. Something had happened, not exactly clear what, but he wasn't paying attention. So the Gemara says, Amar Lei Lo Savar Lei Mar. This is, I think, Rav Yehuda said to Shmuel, Otem Azna Mizakas Da Gam Hu Yikrav Lo Yeoneh. Don't you know that the Pasuk tells us in Mishle, whoever doesn't listen to the screams of a poor person, he too will call out and he won't be answered, presumably by Hashem. So Amalei Shinina, Reshech Bekarire, Resha Dereshech Bechamime, Hayasib Bar Ukva Av Bastin. So he's basically saying, with some kind of nicknames here, I'm not really sure, he said, Big Tooth One, Shinina. I don't know if that's literal or I don't know what exactly that means. But he says, Rashi says, Anisha ni rabcha eni nichve. I'm your Rebbe, but I'm not going to be burned. Aval Mar Ukva shu rosh li vilach, but Mar Ukva, who's the Resh Galusa, as we saw yesterday, I think in yesterday's daf, so he's the head of us and he's the head of the Beis Din. He's the one that's going to be punished for this. He has, as we said right before this, he has the power to give certain, proclamations, and if this woman feels like she's been dealt with unjustly, so it falls back on the Mar Ukva as Harriet Truman would say, the buck stops with him. I don't know if anyone's ever been to I doubt anyone's ever been to Truman Library, but it's in Independence, Missouri, and I was able to go with Rabbi Sachar Franz when he came to be a scholar in residence in Kansas City, and we went, and they've got a whole setup of his office. It looks very small, but apparently the Oval Office was always small. But either way, it has on its desk a big sign that says, the buck stops here, or something like that. Apparently that was his thing. I don't know. It's become colloquialism. But either way, so it's Mar Ukva's responsibility, and therefore, Rav Yehuda says to Shmuel, or Shmuel says back, I guess Shmuel responds, that it's not his fault, it's Mar Ukva's fault. Interesting story. We don't really have much. How do we know that it's Mar Ukva's fault?
Shouldn't he pass it on? Isn't it his responsibility
That's an interesting question. I don't know. Meaning, when I read the Gemara, I assumed it was something that Mar Ukva had already known about. Otherwise, it doesn't make much sense. But you're right. If he doesn't know about it, presumably he's got to tell him.
Maybe at least his obligation is to pass the buck.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. The Gemara here, I mean the Masifta here doesn't really say, let me see. Yeah, it doesn't say anything about it. I don't know. Good question. So the Gemara continues, how do we know that the Reish Galusa is responsible for this stuff? For anything that happens, Dechsev Beis David Kolmar Hashem Dino Laboker Mishpah VaHatzila Gazel Miyadji Oshek Pentei Tzekeish Chamasi VaArav VeEin VeChabe VePnei Roa Ma'alalehem. literally translated to Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, it says, "House of David, so says the Lord, execute judgment in the morning and deliver him that is robbed of the hand of the oppressor, lest my fury go forth like the fire and burn, so that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings." The fact that, where do you see the Reish Galusa in there? The fact that it starts with the Pasuk starts with Beis David, the house of David, right? So Hashem is speaking to the house of David, and the Reish Galusa is a descendant of David. Rashi says, Lo Anash, Ela Misha B'yado Lishpot. The only person that has the ability to be, has the relevance of punishment is he who has the ability to judge. And presumably this is one of those, judgments that the Reish Galusa is responsible for, and therefore the woman should be taking it up with him, or he already knows about it, as David was saying, it must be that he knew about it and didn't do anything. So Amar Rabbi Zeir Rabbi Simon, Lo Chachin Hu Mar Lahani Dvei Reish Galusa. So Rabbi Zeir said, if the Reish Galusa has the responsibility to take care of his business, so then maybe Rabbi Shimon? I don't exactly know who's who here. Rabbi Zera said to Rabbi Simon. So the Rabbi Simon. Rabbi Simon wasn't in the story before. I guess they're just talking. I don't know. Either way, he says to Rabbi Simon, Lo chinu mar lahani dvei Reish Galusa. So maybe you should give rebuke to the Reish Galusa for not doing his job. So Amrali, I don't know if that literally means to tell him about what's going on. Presumably he already knew, as I was saying before, but he has to give rebuke. He has a responsibility to rebuke. So Amrali, lo makabli mina, he's not going to answer me. So Amrali, af agav lo makabli lo chinumar. Even if he's not going to answer, you still have to tell him. And this is an interesting statement, because we know the Gemara in Erechin says otherwise. The Gemara in Erechin says that if you know the person's not going to listen, so then you should not tell them. There's some people that even have the lashon, the Sefer HaChinuch, and we're getting into this in the Wednesday night Chabur, but we haven't really talked about it yet. The line is, I think the even the Midrash says, Kishim shemitzvah lohochiach lemisha shomea, kach mitzvah lo lohochiach lemisha eno shomea. It's just like it's a mitzvah to rebuke someone who's going to listen, it's a mitzvah to not rebuke someone who's not going to listen, because that could exacerbate the issue. So the Gemara says to Amar, but this is in the opposite. This is in the other direction. To Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Rabbi Chanina, Me'olam lo yatsa mida tova mi meikar Shbaruch Hu, v'chazer ba l'ra chutz midavar zeh. Nothing has ever sort of changed Hashem's mind, or Hashem hasn't changed his mind about something except for this. What does that mean? I don't exactly know. But it says, the Pasuk tells us in Yechezkel, which is something that I'm not an expert in deciphering some of these things, but the Gemara is going to give us some help. Vayomer Hashem Elav Avor B'soch Ha'ir B'soch Yerushalayim V'hisvisa Tav Al Mitzchos HaNashim HaNe'enachim V'HaNe'enachim Al Kol HaToivos HaNa'asos B'socha. Hashem said to, I guess, Yechezkel, go through the city and Yerushalayim and put a mark, a tav, on the foreheads of the men that are sighing and crying because of all the terrible things that are happening. So who exactly is getting a mark? So Amar LaKadosh Baruch Hu LeGavriel. He's talking to his angel named Gavriel. Lech Roshom Al Mitzchon Shel Tzadikim Tav Shel Diel. Put an ink mark of a tav on their heads. Shalish Du B'Hemalach Chabala, so that they're not going to be injured by the angels of destruction, I don't know. The Al Mitzchon Shel Roshem Tav Shel Dam, and on the forehead of the evil doers, put a tav of blood. Kedesh Yilish Dubeh Malach Chabala, so that the angels know who are the evil doers. This presumably means that there are some people in the middle, because if they were mutually exclusive, so you would only have to put a tav in one of them, not in the other. But either way, so Amar Midas Adin Lev Nekarash Baruch Hu. The angel, I don't know who this is, the attribute of justice, said to Hashem. I don't know if it's an angel, I don't know if it's some kind of symbolism here. Ribono Shel Olam, Man Shtanu Elu Me'elu. So how are these any different from that? So Gemara says, so Hashem says back, Amar La, Halalu Tzadikim Gemurim, Halalu Shem Gemurim. These are righteous people, completely righteous people. These are completely evil people, which also implies that there's a middle category. But Amar La, Amar Lafan of the Midas Hadin, the attribute of justice, said back, These people are evil and these people are righteous, but the righteous should have rebuked and made the evil go back and change their ways, and they didn't do it. So Amar La Galoy Vyadul Livnet Lefanash Imichu Behemloy Kablomehem. Hashem says back to the Midas Hadin. I don't know what this means, but he says back, if they would have rebuked them, the evildoers wouldn't have ever listened. So Amar Lefan Ribbono Shel Olam, Im Lefanacha Galoy Lahem Migaloy. Even if you may know that, they would never listen. But do the righteous know that? Do the righteous know that if they rebuke that they're never going to listen? Maybe they will listen, and they don't know any better. The righteous people don't know that they're not going to listen, and therefore, the Midas Hadin, the righteous, the attribute of justice is saying back to Hashem, because they don't know if they're going to listen or not, they have a responsibility to try. They have the responsibility, as we said yesterday, with great power comes great responsibility. The person has the obligation, responsibility to try and rebuke them. And therefore, Hashem says, "V'hainu d'chsev zakin b'achor v'sula zat taf v'nashim targu l'mashkas v'akol ish asher alav hatav al tigashu mikdashai al mikdashi tachilu." Anyone who has this taf on their head, you have to give them these restrictions. They shouldn't come to any person, and they shouldn't come to the Beis Hamikdash. Chsev v'yachelu b'anashim azakinim asher lifnei abayis. They began with the elderly who were before the Beis HaMikdash. So Tani Rabbi Yosef, Al Tikrei Mikdashi, not my Mikdash, Ela Mikudashai, those who sanctify me, meaning even the righteous. Elu B'nei Adam Shekimos HaTorah Kula. May Aleph V'Atav, these are the people that observed the Torah from Aleph to Tav, A to Z. They did everything. Umiyad, and nonetheless, right afterwards, the Pasuk tells us, also from Yechezkel, V'hini Sheshi Yaneshim Ba Midar Chasar Shar HaElyon Hashem Mafne, Tzafona v'ish klima abatzo v'yadav v'ish echa b'zochem lavo shabad mekas sofer mastav v'yavo v'yamdu etzal mizbech hanechoshes. I'm not familiar enough with what's going on in Yechezkel, so I don't know if this is a vision or this is literally something that happened. But the pasuk says, "Behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lies toward the north, and every human with his weapon of destruction in his hand. And one man among them was clothed in linen with a writer's inkwell by his side. And they went in and stood beside the bronze altar." So the Gemara says, "Wait a second, mizbeach hanechoshes mihava. There's no such thing as a bronze altar." So Amar Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Yischila b'makom she'omer shir lefanai. Go to the place where they used to sing to me, where the Levites used to sing with their bronze instruments." So ma ninu shisha anashim, who are these six figures? So Amar Rav Chisda, "Ketzef af chema mashkas meshavro mechale." This was fury, wrath, rage, the destroyer, the breaker, and the annihilator, the six angels of destruction. So they went to the righteous, even inside the Beis HaMikdash, and Hashem brought the punishments upon them, despite the fact that they were righteous. They could have also rebuked the evildoers, and they didn't do that. So that just shows you the severity of seeing something being done wrong, and not being able to rebuke them, or not rebuking them when you are able to rebuke them, but. Obviously, some wiggle room in the Gemara in terms of whether or not you know for sure the person is not going to accept it. The Gemara here says that the Midas Hadin says to Hashem, but do they really know if they're going to accept it or not? So that's a big question. If you mamish know, you absolutely know this person, you've tried rebuking them before and they never listen, so then maybe that wouldn't be included within this curse. Maybe that would not be included within this dialogue between Hashem and Midas Hadin. That certainly seems to be the halacha based on the Gemara in Erechin. So just take this Gemara with a grain of salt, that there's another Gemara in Erechin, Daf Tes Zayin, which talks about the parameters of when you would give rebuke to somebody who is not going to listen. So the Gemara says, "Umashna Tav." Why does Hashem say to use the letter Tav? Amarav Tav Techiat Tav Tamos, because the word. The letter Tav begins the word "You shall die and you shall live." Ushmul Amar Tama Zechus Avos. Very interesting theologically, philosophically, what this means I can't tell you, but Shmuel says the reason is Tama Zechus Avos, that the merits of your forefathers have ceased. Like the word Tama starts with a Tav, and therefore it is the beginning. That's what you should put on the forehead. So Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan Amar Tachon Zechus Avos. Rabbi Yochanan says the other Tav. Which I guess is the ink taf, that is indicative of tachon zchus avos, that the merit of them will have mercy. Okay, Rish Lakish Amar Tav Sof Chosama Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu Damar Avichanin Chosama Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu Emes. The Tav is the last letter of Hashem's signature, which is the word Emes. Okay, don't know what that means. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Amar Elu Bnei Adam Shekimu Es Torah Kula Me'alaf Tav. These are the people that followed the Torah from Aleph to Tav. I guess that would only presumably apply to the tzaddikim, not to the rishayim. Maybe they violated the Torah from Aleph through Tav. I don't know. The Gemara says, wait a second. You said Rish Lakish, not Rish Lakish. You said Rabbi Yochanan, not Rabbi Yochanan. You said, who was it? You said Rav. Rav said that Thomas Chosavos, Meima said Thomas Chosavos. If by this time in Yechezkel had already ceased the merit of our forefathers to help us in these difficult times, when we don't do well, we can always look to them. So when did that stop? When did that merit stop? So Amar Rav Mimos Hoshea ben Be'eri. It stopped by Hoshea. Hoshea being one of the Treyasar. A little later in history, Shneamar Agalaz Navlusa Le'enei Me'aveha V'ish Lo Yatzilana Miyadi. Okay, no one's going to stop me. Not even the patriarchs. Ish Lo Yatzilana Miyadi. No one's going to save her from me. Shmuel Amar already Mimei Chazael. Already from the King Chazael. Shneamar V'chazael Me'al Charam L'chatz Yisrael Kol Yimei Yehoachaz. He oppressed the Jewish people. Ilchsi V'yachan Hashem Osam. He had compassion on them, and he used the merit of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But that apparently was the last time it mentioned such a thing, and therefore he says that's the last time that was they used up all of the merit in that situation. Rabbi Shuben Levi Amar, no, already Mimei Eliyahu. From earlier on in Malachim, Shneamar v'hivalos amincha v'egash Eliyahu anavi v'yomar shaloki Avraham Yitzchak v'Yisrael hayom yivadak yatalo kim v'Yisrael ani avdecha v'dvarcha sisi as called Rima Elam. This is, I believe, the famous situation of Har Carmel. We have this word v'egash, which we've talked about before in terms of the three times v'egash means a type of supplication. And here Eliyahu Anavi says, I'm remembering Elokei Avraham Yitzchak and Yisrael Hayom, specifically today, which implies that after today it's no longer going to be able to be used and invoked. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mimei Chizkiyahu. Rabbi Yochanan said, no, really, it was later. Shneamar Lamar Baham Yisrael Ushalom in case Al Kisei Davia Ve'amah Machtol Achino Solo Sadak Mishpat Ubitztakam Yatavi Arolam Kinas Hashem Tzvakos Ta'asazos. For the increase of the realm for peace without end upon the throne of David, upon a kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment, with justice, from now and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts performs this, right? So it's only...
With all this discussion, I mean, first we start talking about, let's pick a word for the letter tough. There's a million words that start with the letter tough, and they're picking these. That was strange. And now we're talking about that the chus avos has disappeared. When did it disappear? We call on that chus
three times a day. Absolutely.
So it, the whole thing is just like, what's the context? What's the understanding? Nothing.
Yeah, I thought about that. I thought about that when I davened Marv right after I prepared this. I mean, like, what does it mean that Tamas Chosavos? And that's what I said before. I don't exactly know what it means in terms of practically. Do we actually believe that? Is there a different type of Chosavos that we lost, and now we have this kind of Chosavos?
He gives a couple of different explanations in the art scroll.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
On footnote 22. He says, you know, if the merit of the patriarchs has expired, why didn't we invoke it in our prayers?
Right.
Aspis offers two explanations. Although the merit of the patriarchs has expired, the covenant Hashem made with them has not. That's Rabbeinu Tam. Or the merit of the patriarchs has expired in that it no longer protects the wicked, however, it still shields the righteous. According to this explanation, Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the Tough suggests the merit of the patriarchs confers grace, does not disagree with Shmuel, who says that Tough implies that the merit of the patriarchs has expired. Rabbi Yochanan referred to the righteous, and Shmuel referred to the wicked, says the Reed. And he also refers you to Marasha.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so there are other ways. I have here from a sefer called the Or Yisrael. I don't know who that is. But he says there are different types of zchusavos. There's zchus maaseim hatovim shasu bechem, zchus zu kama darosayim. That there's the actions that the avos did that are going to help us as far as they can. And then there's chusavos hanolades mimase b'nehem. Hasha avos heim hashor shayadam gam zareim achreim mekayim mitzvos masim tovim chuszu inu mafsik laolam shein chador shein bo tzadikim. So right, so there's chus avos, which applies, and I talked a little bit about this in my yisker drasha in the mailer that we sent out. That number one, there's the stuff that literally Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov did, and then there's the stuff that we learn from Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, which is constantly influencing people's actions. So that consistent influence of people's actions is what presumably we would never end. Because every time we learn about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and every time we're influenced to do better because of them, so that reflects back on them. And that's what it means when we say in Shemona Esrei, Elokei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that there is chus, or there the chesed through them should happen. It's because of everything that they've taught us, not necessarily everything that they literally did themselves. So that's another way to understand it. But yeah, different. You'd have to go into depth with this Gemara to figure out what exactly it means. And it's certainly not my pay grade to figure it out. I probably should have prepared better, but that's what you got today. But yeah, very interesting. Another one of these agadatas that if you dig into, I'm sure there's a treasure of theological, philosophical underpinnings that we could figure out. So Amar Rav Ami. So Rav Ami says, another interesting theological statement, Ein misa b'lo chet. No one dies unless they sinned. That's an interesting one, because, I should have written it down. I thought about something. There's a Gemara that we had seen together, that someone died without sin. Oh, this next part is what I was thinking of. The Ein Yisurim b'lo avon. And there's no such thing as suffering without sin. We went, if you remember, through a whole sugya in Brachos about Yisurin shel Ahava, right? Suffering, which was for the betterment of the tzaddik. Now, it might not have been that the tzaddikim were always so happy about it. And Gemara over there talks about, like, I know that I get a lot of zechuyos for all this suffering, but I don't want it. And I know it's Yisurin shel Ahava that Hashem is giving, but I don't want it. So how does that make sense in terms of Yisurin below Avon? You know, the tzaddikim there are getting it because of a good thing, not because of a bad thing. So how does this Gemara fit with the concept of Yisurin shel Ahava? I'm not 100% sure, but
I think it's the idea that if it's a give and take, then if I'm already going to be punished, I'd rather be punished in this world and open up for good in the coming world. So here it's saying there's no Yisurin without Avon. So great, if I'm going to have to, in case I sin, let me knock out the Yisurim now, as opposed to you putting it on me. You're like, that was the, didn't we have with the thing with the, he's one person sat on an anthill or something.
There were definitely people that have volunteered for Yisurim, but the Gemara clearly says that there were Yisurim that came upon them that they interpreted as Yisurim shel Ahava. So the truth is that I think Tosfos talks about it here. I didn't see it inside, but Tosfos says, Tosfos here on Nun Hey Amr Aleph, Ein Misbel of Ein Zerim Shel Ahava, Mezid, Avon Shel Mezid, and I'm going to be Yoma, Hatam Elish Hashigos, Avonos Elas Dos, Ve'afa Gav Da Amrina and Gabe, Seir Shel Makibra, the Hagin Allah, and Yisurim, Mashmat Yisurim, Baim, Ashogi, Hacha, Mari, Bisuri, and Gaim, Shemichu Arim. Tosfos says here that these are talking about really bad Yisurim. Not just bad Yisurim, but really bad Yisurim, which doesn't completely answer the question. But here in the Iyun Yaakov, I don't know who the Iyun Yaakov, I think that's a commentary on the Ein Yaakov. The Iyun Yaakov says that our Gemara actually just disagrees with Rabbi, our Gemara here, Rabbi Ami, disagrees with those Gemara and Brachos. It says that clearly, Sugas Gemara Brachos, Cholekas Rabbi Ami, Vesuresh Yisurim Shel Ava, Bayim Belochet. That's what the Masifta says here, that those Gemaras of suffering out of love are just disagreeing, and they disagree on this philosophical point.
Isn't the resolution simply the pasuk in Kohelet that says there's never been a person who hasn't sinned? Every single person sins. There's nobody without sin.
Right. Yeah. No. That would make sense. But the real issue is that the Gemara says the Yisurin come because of a sin, meaning everybody sins is true. But the Gemara in Brachos, when it says the phrase Yisurin shel Ahava, our interpretation of it was that he has suffering because God loves him, not because of anything else. But God is giving him an opportunity to gain to gain merit, not because of anything he did, but just because Hashem loves him and he wants the tzaddik to prosper in the world, and therefore he gives him a sin. So it's true that tzaddik probably has sins. I mean, that's the pasuk in Kalos. You're right. But that's not the interpretation of Yisurin shel Ahava. So yeah, there's what to think about it for this also, but we're going to continue trying to prove that there's no death unless someone sinned. Ein misa b'lochei dechziv, ha-nefesh ha-chotei si tamus ben lo yisa ba'avon ha-av, ha-av lo yisa ba'avon ha-ben, tzidkas ha-tzadik alav, tia v'rishas ha-rasha alav tia. Pasuk in Yechezkel again. That's the soul that sins shall die, basically. And then there's a continuation of explaining it. Ein yisurim b'lo avin dechziv, fakati v'shevet b'sham v'negam avonam. I have established or designated on this tribe b'shevet, with a stick their sin, and with negayim, it could be a plague. Here it says strokes, avonam, their sins. Mesevei Gemara seemingly which contradicts this. Why did you punish Adam Harishon? What do you mean? I gave him one mitzvah and he violated it. So Moshe and Aaron did the entire Torah and they still died. So So Hashem said to them, based on the pasuk in Koheles, that Mikra echad latzadik v'larasha latov, that the righteous and the wicked get the same treatment. Here it says that what that means is that everybody dies. I think that's what it means. Everybody dies.
Whether they sin or not, it would seem to contradict the statement we're trying to prove.
Right. Kohel is basically saying everybody dies. That's all it's saying. The one of the two guarantees in life, right? Death and taxes, is that what they say? Right? So everybody dies. So who de amar ki hai tana? This is, that Gemara is talking about a different, that's going according to a different tana. The tana, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omar, af Moshe v'Aaron bechetam tam mesu. That even Moshe and Aaron died because of a sin. And we know this from the Gemara, right? From Rashi and Psukim Shinemar, Yan lo amantum bi, ha amantum bi, adayin lo ikiyaz manchem li patrim olam. If you never would have done this thing, whatever this thing is, as we know, Machlokas Rishonim, very expansive Machlokas Rishonim as to what exactly happened. But if Moshe and Aaron didn't sin by the rock, well, maybe by the rock, so then they would not have died at that time. There are other times that Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah.
But the idea that everyone dies for their own sin, so, I mean, maybe we'll talk about it, but, babies die, and
good question.
Never have an opportunity to sin.
Good question.
A bold statement.
Yeah, that is a good question. What exactly do the babies do? How could anybody who's who passes away, Rahman al-Islam, before the age of 12 or 13, a girl or a boy, how could they ever be held responsible based on this Gemara? It would seem that would fly in the face of it. It would require some explanation too. I don't know. The Gemara is going to continue with all of the contradictions here. So Mesve Arba Mesu Beitio Shel Nachash. There are four people that died only because of the Nachash, which means that they didn't do anything wrong. The Elohim Ben Yamin Ben Yaakov, Amram Ben Avi Moshe, Yishai Ben Avi David, Bekilah Ben David. Interestingly, you notice that this Gemara, what's the common denominator between all of those? They're connected to people we consider righteous, but none of them are the shining examples of righteousness, right? I think their address is based on that. Binyamin, the son of Yaakov, Amram, the father of Moshe, Yishai, the father of David, and Kilav, the son of David. They're all related, either father or son of a prominent figure in Tanakh, but not they themselves. To Mefarish Bakra, Dechsiya, V'es Amasa, Sam Avshalom Tachas Yoav Sar Al Tzavav Amasa Ben Ish Ushmo Yisrael Yisraeli Asher Bahel Avigayo Bas Nachash Achos Tzriya Im Yoav. Okay, kind of a random pasuk there, but it says V'chi Bas Nachash Havel. Why does it say Abigail, the daughter of Nachash. What does that mean, the daughter of Nachash? So the Gemara says, Halo Bas Yishai Havai. That she was the daughter of Yishai. Just like David. Dechsi v'ach yosin tri v'avigayel. Ella bas mi shemes betra shal Nachash. She is rather the daughter of he who died only because of the snake by Adam and Chava, and not because of anything he did himself. So that was presumably implies that these people didn't do anything to merit being killed, rather it's because of the Nachash. So money. So who's that going according to? So Eli Matana Machesh Ares, if that's going according to Machesh as from before, Vahaika Moshe V'Aaron. Moshe and Aaron also died. That can't be going according to the statement from earlier because
it says here that they didn't die because of their own sins. It sounds like we're getting to a Christian theme here.
And that doesn't mean that they died on behalf of everybody else. It just means that they died for a different reason. That's
funny saying, right?
Yeah. But presumably this is referring to the conversation that we mentioned before between the Malachi Asharis, who said, how could you punish Moshe and Aaron? And Hashem said, "Mikra echel tzadik v'larasha." Hashem says sometimes people die without the sins. And then the Gemara brings up that other conversation, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who thinks that they did die because of a sin. But I guess apparently, if you stop the conversation there, just between Hashem and Malchei Sharis, that would imply that Moshe and Aaron died without sin. So the Gemara says, "Ilmi tana Malchei Sharis v'ha'ikim Moshe v'Aaron who didn't die." El alav Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, rather, it must be according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Ushma mina yesh misa b'lochei v'yesh esrim b'lo'avon u'tiyufta rev ami tiyufta. In the end of the day, all of our questions are answered because based on these Gemaras, we have a contradiction to Rabbi Ami that he cannot get out of, and therefore there is death even though a person doesn't sin, and there is suffering even though a person doesn't sin. And unfortunately, there's things that we don't understand why they happen. For now, Rav Ami's statement does not hold any water. And as we've said before, the rule is a sandwich tiyufta is very conclusive. Tiyufta, does somebody tiyufta, means there's no answer. And therefore, this concept of a person dying without sin is impossible. Or the person can only die with sin is not true. So, Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yochanan son, Kol ha'omer Reuven chata eino ela toa. Anyone who says that Reuven sinned, when did Reuven sin? We'll see in a second. So then they are mistaken. Shneamar v'ayu b'nei Yaakov shnei masar malam shkun shkun k'achad. That all of the children of Yaakov were 12, and therefore they're all on the same level. And even though Reuven could be interpreted as doing something problematic, it is not the case. The Gemara says, "How is Elamani Mekayim?" If that's the case, then what does the pasuk mean? V'yishkav es Bilha pileg shaviv. What does it mean that Reuven slept with Bilha, the concubine of Yaakov? The truth is that it was Rachel's concubine. But either way, he had mixed up the beds because he was upset that that Yaakov wasn't going to Leah right away after Rachel died. And therefore, because he mixed up the beds, it's as if it's sort of like, you know, attributed like he slept with Bilha. So Tanya Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer,
that wouldn't be considered a sin. That in itself wouldn't be enough to be considered sinful, kibud av aim, something like that. The fact that he,
I think, schedule, yeah, I'm understanding it to mean that anyone who thinks that Reuven literally did that is mistaken.
No, that's right. So he didn't sleep with her. He did something right. else.
He did sin, but he didn't sin in that way.
Right,
so Yaakov was still upset. Right. Yaakov clearly was upset about it. In this way, that's how I'm understanding it, that Reuven made this mistake. I think we're out of the conversation of people who never sinned. Now we're talking about people who sinned. The question is whether they sinned in this specific way. So if anyone thinks Reuven sinned in this way, it's
what we're saying is all the Shvatim. We're saying Reuven was lumped in with all the Shvatim. The rest of them didn't sin, so Reuven couldn't have sinned. How did he?
Well, he didn't.
What we think was a sin wasn't a sin.
He didn't sin in that severe of a way that would bring him out of that group. Meaning, everybody sins except for maybe Binyamin, which is a good kasha in this Gemara, but that's a separate question. But assuming that none of them sinned so severely that it would sort of remove them from that group, so then it must be that Reuven never had, never slept with Bilhah. That's I have to understand it. But either way, a lot of this Gemara, Agadata, we can't really understand what Wolo means. It could be symbolic. It could be teaching us a lesson of some kind. I don't think it's necessarily teaching us a literal statement. But Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer Mutzal, Oso Tzadik Meoso Avon, that Reuven was saved from this specific sin, Velo Bamasa Zeliado, and the action never came to actually be performed. Could it be that the Shvatim later on in Har Eval say the words, "Cursed is the one who sleeps with the wife of his father," when they know in the back of their minds that their ancestor did such a thing? Rather, it must be something else. He was simply sort of standing up for his mother's honor. If the sister of my mother was considered a co-wife to my mother, shivchas achos imi teitzar imi, should the concubine of my mother's sister also be considered the co-wife, meaning that my mother should get precedence over Bilhah? Leah should get precedence over Bilhah. So Amar Bilbel etz matzah. So he changed the bed. Same type of thing. Acherim or mishtei matzos Bilbel. He actually changed two beds. I don't know what this means. Achas shel shchinah v'achas shel aviv. One of Hashem, one of his father. V'ahinu dechsev az chilalta yitzui Allah al tikra yitzui el yitzui. Don't ask me to understand what that means. Kitanai pachas kamayim al tosar. Rabbi Eliezer Omar pazosa chavta v'zalta. Pachas kamayim al tosar, the word pachas literally means unstable is water, you shall not excel. I think this is talking about Yaakov's curse to Reuven. I think that's what it's talking about, right? So the Gemara says, what is this word pachas? So the Gemara says, oh, it is it's an acronym for pazosa, chavta, and zalta, which means impulsive, liable, and contemptuous. The Rabbi Yeshua Omer, pasata al das, chatasa, zanisa. Pasata al das means that you sort of trampled on the religion or on morality. You sinned and you strayed. You're promiscuous. Rabbi Gamil Omer pilalta chalta zarcha tfilasecha. You prayed, you trembled, and your prayer shone forth. So there are whole different explanations about whether Reuven did something good or bad. So Amar Rabbi Gamil adayin tzrichan anu lemodai. We still need the interpretation of the Modei. Rabbi Elazar ben Modei Omer Hafocha Sateva V'Dorsha. Switch it around and say, Ziaz Zizata Hirtata Parach Chet Mimcha. You shook, you recoiled, and the sin sort of ran away from you. Parach, it flew away. Which means that Rabbi Reuven didn't do anything. Rava Amar V'Amila Rabbi Yirmi Bar Abba Zacharta Oncho Shel Davar Chilisa Atzmach Choli Choli Gadol Perashta Milach Tov. You remember the punishment for such a thing. You yourself became gravely ill to not do this thing, and you successfully withdrew from sinning. Those are all sort of spinning in a positive way that Reuven didn't do these things. So Reuven bnei Eli bnei Shmuel David Shmuel v'Yoash Simon. Now we're going to go through each one of those. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar Rabbi Yonas Nakol Amar bnei Eli Chatu Eino Ela Toa. Anyone who thinks that the sons of Eli made a transgression were sick. Or did a sin, so they also they're also mistaken. So the Gemara is going to go through this also now. The Shneim Avisham Shnei Bnei Eli Im Aron Bris Halakim Chafni Pinchas Kohanim La Sever LaKrav De Amar Rav Pinchas Lochata. The Rav thinks that Pinchas never sinned. So Makish Chafni Pinchas. If it's true, so then Chafni also didn't sin. Ma Pinchas Lochata Af Chafni Lochata. Elamani Mekayim. How could it be? Therefore, the pasuk says in Shmuel Asher Yishkavunas Hanashim that they slept with the women. At the Mishkan, so mitoch shashiu es kineihem shlohachu etzav aleihem alei nakasuf kilu shechavum, because they didn't bring the certain karbanos that would have brought the women back to their husbands, so then it's as if they slept with those women because they inhibited them from returning to their husbands. Okay, interesting. Gemara gufa amarav pinchas lochatu shnei barachia ben achi tuv Achi I Kavod Ben Pinchas Ben Eli Cohen Hashem. Also a pasuk in Shmuel. So after a chet bal yado v'akatsum yachso, could it be that there is a sin and the pasuk goes out of its way to bring it back to Pinchas? Therefore, it says v'lo kvar namar yachres Hashem l'isha sheyase yaasena er v'ona me'ale Yaakov magish Pinchas l'Hashem tzevakos. Hashem will cut off from this man that does this and him that is awake and him that answers the tents of Yaakov, or ever present in offering the Lord of the hosts. Im Yisrael hu lo yelo er b'chacham v'lo ona b'talmidim. If he was a Yisrael, so he wouldn't have anything from his descendants. Not someone with a harp, and not someone who is a student, or he wouldn't have a chacham or a student. And the im kohen hu, and if he's a kohen lo yelo ben magish mincha. He wouldn't have someone who could bring the mincha offering. El alav shema mina Pinchas lachata. It must be that Pinchas didn't have a sin. Otherwise, that pasuk wouldn't make sense from Malachi. So the Gemara says, wait a second. El haksiv asher yishkavun. B'nei Eli, it says that they slept with the women. There's no yishkavain ksiv. It says yishkavain in the singular, which means that only one of them sinned, not both of them. Okay? Well, I don't know which one's which, but v'haksiv al banai kilo tova hashmua. It says banai, plural. So Amar Rabbi Nachman, it's like bini ksiv. It does, we read it as banai, but it really says bini, which is also in the singular. V'haksiv ma'avirim. It says that you transgressed in the plural. Amar Rav Huna b'rei d'Rav Yoshua ma'aviram. That he caused them to sin. That's what it sounds like, at least. V'haksiv b'nei v'li'al. It says b'nei v'li'al, which is also in the plural. So rather, it rather sounds like Pinchas sinned because it was his responsibility to reprimand them and he didn't. Okay, which sounds like he did sin, but either way, I guess the sin again wasn't as severe as we said before, and it's not the same type of sin. A lot of kashas in this Gemara. But we will pick up with the sons of Shmuel tomorrow. How did they sin? How did they not sin? We have some more Agadita for tomorrow's daf. And then we will be very much in the throes afterwards. The next parak is very much the meat and potatoes of understanding Hilchos Shabbos. So get ready for that on Friday. But before that, we have some more fun Agadita that we probably won't understand to the fullest, but we will do our best. So we'll see you tomorrow.